June 14th, 2004. Got a telephone call at 2:15 in the afternoon. I was in a business meeting downtown Seattle, and they informed me my house was on fire. The 911 call had gone in at 1:55 in the afternoon, and so they had already been fighting the fire for 45 minutes to an hour when I got here. And it was very surrealistic to be standing in the street with your wife and three kids and looking around and realizing that what we have on our backs and what we have in our pockets is all that's left of everything we've ever owned. I must say, though, that I have had to explain to at least five people how to figure out whether your refrigerator is too old or not, because it was the refrigerator in our garage. It was avocado green. That's how old it was, and it was working too hard, and it actually drew enough power to melt the insulation on the pigtail, and it actually caught itself on fire, and that's where the fire started in the garage. And it, 15, 20 minutes later, it jumped to the house, and it completely gutted the whole house. The outpouring of support and friendship that we've received in the last year has just been mind-numbing. It's you just really can't say enough about the people that we know and how they've supported us, and we're very anxious to get back moved in and get it all behind us and live in the neighborhood again.
Are the appliances in your garage the greatest fire threat to your home? Hi, I'm Mark Bunting with the Kirkland Fire and Building Department.
On June 14th, 2004, a new home in Kirkland's Finn Hill neighborhood was completely destroyed by a fire that started in the garage. The origin of the fire was found to be the wiring to a refrigerator kept in the garage. Following the fire, our department heard from concerned citizens who wondered what they could do to avoid a similar fire. Fortunately, there are some simple steps we can all take to avoid major appliance fires. These are especially important since we live in earthquake country, and appliances can cause fires from being moved by quakes. To learn more about common problems that lead to major appliance fires and give us tips to prevent them, we met with Jeff Jordan, the owner of Kirkland-based Fast Water Heater Company, and Ed Smith, the manager of Crossroads Appliance Center. Jeff began by telling us how to avoid common fire risks pertaining to hot water heaters and furnaces.
With the installation of either a furnace or a water heater, a permit is required. And with that permit, you also get an inspection. Inspector actually comes out and looks at both of the items to make sure that they are safe and up to code. There's a few items that I want to point out that are safety features that you want to make sure that on any installation that you have. First off, on the water heater is the pressure and temperature relief valve. This is the most important safety item on the water heater. It's this little valve right here. Every water heater should have one, has to have one. This valve opens up if the water pressure hits 150 psi or if the temperature goes above 210 degrees. If it does not have one of these, there's a potential that the water heater could explode. You must have this item. The next item I'd like to talk about are the earthquake straps. Any water heater that was installed in the last 5 years should have some sort of a strapping mechanism on both the top and the bottom third of the water heater. This way, if there's an earthquake, this water heater is secured to the wall. It will not fall over and tear out the water lines and the gas lines. The vent, both the furnace and the water heater, have an exhaust vent attached to them. They have to have proper clearances from anything combustible, sheetrock, 2x4s, anything exposed. On single wall vent, you have to have at least 6 inches of clearance from anything combustible. Also, the vent capacity. Sometimes when a new water heater gets put in, the firepower is higher than the older one, in which case, if it can't vent properly, you'll actually spill carbon monoxide into the room. This water heater is elevated on a stand, and the reason for this, any water heater in the garage, the point of ignition needs to be elevated at least 18 inches off the ground. If it is not, what can happen is if you spill gasoline or anything flammable, those vapors can roll up into the combustion chamber, light, and then roll back into your home and catch something on fire. The new water heaters built as of July of 2004 have a special mechanism built into them that keeps that from happening. If it were to catch fire to some flammable vapors, it shuts a door and also shuts the gas off to the tank. But the older ones do not, and they have to be on a stand. Same thing, electric water heaters now have to be on a stand because the thermostat is considered a point of ignition and can catch flammable vapors on fire. The expansion tank, with this particular expansion tank, it's strapped to the wall. If it is on plastic piping, as this one is, it needs to be strapped or secured in some way. Water can actually get into this tank, and it gets extremely heavy, and that can actually break off. If it's attached to the tank with steel piping, it doesn't necessarily need to be strapped. Electric water heaters, a lot of the newer tanks are a higher wattage power. And so if you install one of those in place of an older one that was, let's say, 4,000 watts, and you install a new one that's 5,500 watts, sometimes the circuit is not enough to handle it. You need to verify that both the breaker size and the wire is large enough to handle that new water heater. As far as use and care, once the water heater is installed, there's several things that as a homeowner you need to do to make sure that you don't create a hazardous situation. One of them that you need to do just annually is trip the lever on the relief valve. You just flip it open like this and shut it just to make sure that it does open. It is possible to get minerals depositing in there that will keep it from allowing it to open. So by tripping that, it frees up the valve and allows it to clean out and make sure it works. The second thing that's really important from the homeowner's perspective is to make sure that you do not pile things around the tank or the furnace. It's real easy to want to stack things on top of the water heater or stack things on top of the furnace. Again, this vent, you have to maintain 6 inches of clearance from it from anything combustible. The water heater, most of them require 12 inches of clearance off the top of the water heater. So anything that's up there potentially could catch on fire. Down in front of the water heater, it could be anywhere from 4 to 24 inches of clearance. A flame could potentially roll out the front of a gas water heater and catch something on fire. As well as just stacking things in front or on the sides of the water heater or in front of the furnace, it needs air to breathe to be able to burn efficiently. If you choke off that air, what happens is the internal flue can soot up, get plugged up, and end up with an internal, like a chimney fire, within the appliance. And to recap, the most important things on a water heater are the pressure and temperature relief valve, that the water heater, if it's in a garage, be elevated on a stand, that it have earthquake straps to hold the tank in place, the venting be clear from anything combustible, and that no clutter is scattered around the tank.
Following Jeff's discussion on commercially installed furnaces and hot water heaters, Ed then discussed some of the differences for plug-in electrical appliances more commonly found.
Well, unlike water heaters and furnaces, refrigerators and freezers in your garage are plug-in appliances and don't often require a permit. Oftentimes there are a used appliance you're putting in your garage. You just want to make sure when you're buying a used appliance that the model and serial number tag are still in the product. You'll often find them on the sidewalls, ceiling, or down by the grill. That way you can contact the Consumer Product Safety Commission to see if there's been any recalls on that product. When you buy a new refrigerator, it'll come with an owner's manual. Owner's manual will indicate to you what the clearances are that are required for the refrigerator. For instance, how close you can have it next to a cabinet, how close you can have something above it, whether or not you can have combustibles to one side of it or not. If you don't have an owner's manual, you do need to know that it needs to be on an isolated circuit that is grounded. To find out if that circuit's grounded, you can buy a very simple tool from your local hardware store that will easily indicate whether or not it is. It's as simple as plugging it in to the wall outlet that you intend on plugging the refrigerator in, and a series of lights will come on telling you whether or not it's a grounded circuit. You also want to make sure it's an isolated circuit, which means it's on a circuit by itself. It's on a circuit breaker by itself or a fuse by itself. You can use an isolated circuit with something small that doesn't use much electricity, like a small radio, a lamp. That way that refrigerator, if there is an electrical problem, will trip the circuit breaker or blow the fuse before it creates an electrical fire. You do not want to use it on any kind of a cord, like a lamp cord, and of course, even a big heavy extension cord. You want to make sure that it's on its own circuit, plugged directly into the socket. You also want to make sure that there's no indicators of a loose plug, like discoloration around the outlet plate, or a cord that has to be wiggled to make the product work. Well, just remember, when you're buying a used appliance, to check with the Consumer Product Safety Commission first to make sure there's been no recalls. New appliances, make sure that you follow the recommendations on clearances and circuit protection. Do not use extension cords. Make sure your plugs are nice and tight, you don't have to wiggle them to make things work, and there's no discoloration around it, and you should have no electrical problems or fires with your appliances in your garage.
With the help of local appliance experts Jeff Jordan and Ed Smith, we've learned some tips that can help make appliances more safe in our garage and hopefully prevent fires that might affect your home.
According to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, over 337,000 accidental residential structure fires occurred in 1999. These fires resulted in over $4 billion in property damage, more than 14,000 injuries, and over 2,000 deaths. Together, the categories of heating or cooling equipment and electrical distribution systems, like wiring and lighting, accounted for 26% of the fires, 17% of the deaths, and 16% of the injuries.
We hope you've enjoyed the information presented today and that the information can help make your home safer. From all of us at the Kirkland Fire and Building Department, thank you for tuning in.